liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
It is sad to think that sooner or later those you love will do the same for you. And you may have thought it tragic, not to mention other adjectives, to think of all the weeping they will do. But don't you worry, no more ashes, no more sackcloth, and an armband made of black cloth will someday nevermore adorn a sleeve. For if the bomb that drops on you gets your friends and neighbors too, there'll be nobody left behind to grieve, and we will all go together when we go. What a comforting fact that is to know. Universal bereavement, an inspiring achievement. Yes, we all will go together when we go. We will all go together when we go, all suffused with an incandescent glow. No one will have the endurance to collect on his insurance. Lloyd's of London will be loaded when they go. We will all fry together when we fry. We'll be French fried potatoes by and by. There will be no more misery when the world is our rotisserie. Yes, we all will fry together when we fry. We will all bake together when we bake. There'll be nobody present at the wake. With complete participation in that grand incineration, nearly 3 billion hunks of well-done steak. We will all char together when we char, and let there be no moaning of the bar. Just sing out a te deum when you see that ICBM, and the party will be come as you are.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, where I'm very pleased today to be joined by Danny Siras. I think the Democrats who have been promoting the idea of blacks as victims of white racism unrelentingly for not quite a decade now, I mean, but especially, of course, in the Trump era, now with Biden, has suffered what could be described as a triple whammy. We not only have the case in Kenosha, or a white guy who they were describing as a vigilante, whom they claimed had illegally transported a gun across state lines, who, according to their narrative, shot three black men, killing two, was acquitted by a jury of 11 whites and one black. The decision had to be unanimous, of course. And where they found he had acted in self-defense. Indeed, the narrative that the Democrats have been promoting and their liberal media, remember the days when the Democrats used to complain that the media was dominated by conservatives? Have found themselves in a quandary because the facts are inconsistent with their position. The actual reality is Kyle Rittenhouse had been recruited to help to protect private property, one of the car lots that was owned by two guys who actually testified during the jury, a point to which I shall return, that he crossed the state line without a weapon. A friend had obtained an AR-15 for him, that his father lived in Kenosha, that he worked there as a lifeguard, that he was EMT trained. We have video of him washing graffiti off of the walls of a school in Kenosha. We have a video of him being interviewed about why he was there to provide medical aid for those who might be in need. he took the weapon because while he didn't expect he'd have to use it, it would be wise to have it in case he did. And of course, this is one of those situations where better to have a weapon and not need it than to need a weapon and not have it. What could be more obvious is it's simply common sense. And where Kyle did his best to do his duty, but was assailed by three or four vicious thugs, one of whom actually wanted to threaten to kill him. This is Joseph Rosenbaum by name. There was another who assaulted him with a skateboard. This was a fellow named Huber. There was a third who approached him with a pistol by the name of Grosskreutz and was trying to kill him, in which case Kyle acted only when he was boxed in, only when he could no longer retreat, only when he realized his life was in danger, only acting in proportion with a threat that was posed, where Rosenbaum, for example, boxed him in at the automobile dealership. We even have a witness, a reporter was following by the name of McGinnis, who reported how Rosenbaum had ambushed him. Kyle wound up shooting him in the hand, in the groin, in the leg, and then when he lunged at him in the back, actually the shoulders, the upper shoulder, the shot that killed him, well, where the medical examiner explained that the shots were consistent with his having been lunging at Kyle. And while the media want to maintain this man was unarmed, he was a sadistic character. He actually had a history of not just child abuse, but child rape, for 5 rapes of young boys between the ages of 7 and 11. He had threatened to kill Kyle, and while most Americans don't know, most deaths in the United States occur from being beaten to death or strangled with your bare hands. In addition to that, most shootings, by the way, which occur in the United States, are done with handguns, not with rifles. Those are highly unusual. And where, when you look at the statistics, while Black Lives Matters has been insisting that there's a proliferation of whites killing blacks, the fact of the matter is that blacks kill whites 10 times more often than whites kill blacks. Whites kill other whites about the same, 10 times as often as whites kill blacks. But blacks kill blacks 55 times more often than whites kill blacks, giving you some idea of how all this is complete nonsense. The second guy who was trying to break his neck with a skateboard hit him twice with his skateboard before Kyle shot him once in the chest, killing him, and the third who assaulted him, Grosskreutz, actually raised his hands initially in order to approach him. Kyle did not shoot him when he was approaching him, but only after he pulled out a pistol and was pointing it right at Kyle. Then Kyle sought to turn himself into the police. Interestingly, the police, I think, in the chaos of the time, had no idea what was really going on and told him just to go home. Well, he went home and reported himself to the local police there, who would eventually turn him over to the Kenosha police. There are interesting aspects of this about his attorneys at the time, including L. Lynn Wood, but he wound up spending something like 78 days in jail. It was a pretty miserable experience, but he came through it pretty well. So the jury finding him not guilty has led all by itself to a liberal meltdown. They're trying to spin it away, claiming there was corruption or malconduct by the judge, who in fact was acting in an exemplary fashion. I was very impressed with his judge. I've had my own encounters with court cases here in Wisconsin, and I can assure you we don't have universal adherence to the law by judges throughout the courts in Wisconsin, that they are willing to bend procedures and exclude evidence in order to support a predetermined conclusion. where all the liberals, the blacks, the progressives have predetermined conclusions about all these matters. If that were not bad enough, and I'll return to issues of prosecutorial misconduct here, where the prosecution of Kyle Rittenhouse actually withheld evidence, including a high-definition drone video that exonerated him on all counts. We have a brilliant legal analysis by Andrew Branca, B-R-A-N-C-A, who goes through all the elements, the five elements of self-defense to each of the alleged charges, where the prosecutor even brought a phony charge of illegal possession of a gun that even the court, the judge, found difficult to understand. But it turned out his weapon would only have been illegal had it had a barrel shorter than 16 inches, which his did not. So the judge dismissed that count before it was sent to the jury completely appropriately, while the car owners had actually asked Kyle if he could assist in their defense. They went on the stand and falsely testified that they'd had no contact with Kyle, meaning the prosecutor, who knew better, was suborning perjury. In one of the bizarre instances, the prosecutor picked up Kyle's weapon and actually pointed it around the courtroom with his finger inside the trigger housing, which is a blatant violation. We could have had an Alec Baldwin moment here, and even pointed it toward the jury, which some interpreted as a matter of jury intimidation. This guy is disgusting. He violated the law. He violated Kyle's rights. He should be submitted to the bar here in Wisconsin. He should have his license to practice law revoked. As though the Kyle Rittenhouse situation weren't bad enough, we have a whore in Waukesha where a black activist, and they're trying to suppress this, a guy who's a keen BLM supporter who admires Adolf Hitler, who was very upset with a Rittenhouse verdict, which he believed to be unjust, possibly because of the fake media reports. He may have thought Kyle Rittenhouse actually shot three black men, killing two, when in fact we know that was not the case. He'd even written about how you could get away with killing somebody by running them over with a car. He was out on $1,000 bail for multiple offenses, but including one of running over his girlfriend, the mother of his child, with a car. I mean, this is just so obscene. So we have this Waukesha Christmas parade where he runs through a barrier, runs through a crowd, Waukesha from behind. They couldn't see him coming. He was zigzagging, going everywhere, trying to maximize the deaths. More than 48, I think up to 62, were injured, including a dozen kids. When he plowed through the Christmas parade in Waukesha, I've seen the footage. He was going, by my estimate, 40 miles an hour, when, of course, he shouldn't have been president at all. You see him about to plow into the band. I mean, this was just outrageous. We have five deaths, including these were five adults who were ages 51 to 84, including three of the dancing grannies. When he crashed the barrier at the other end, a police officer fired at him as he was getting away. But the fact of the matter is he did get away. Then we have a photograph of his SUV, a red or maroon SUV parked in a driveway, all smashed up in the front, all smashed up in the front. So how can you get away with this? There's no question but what this was a criminal act. We've had the addition of a 8-year-old little boy who's died, and we have others in critical condition. I expect the death toll is going to increase. So we got a Kyle, a white guy who shot other white guys, but where they distorted and implied in the media, asserted that those he killed were black men. Even the Independent in the UK made that assertion. Then you have a black guy who's a radical mowing down American citizens in the middle of a parade, a massacre in Mishawaka. And they're doing their best to try to conceal what happened here, even in the front page of the Wisconsin State Journal. The defense attorneys for this miscreant are telling the public not to rush to judgment, not to rush to judgment. They're trying to suggest it could have been an accident. Let me give you some overview here, comparing what happened in Kenosha and what happened in Waukesha. The perp in Kenosha was a white boy, age 17. The perp in Waukesha, black man, age 39. The event in Kenosha shot and killed two white men and wounded a third. In Waukesha, ran over perhaps as many as 100 whites, killing five, actually now six, injuring as many as 62. The parties who were involved here, criminals with extensive rap sheets, including this one guy who was a child rapist, for God's sake, who threatened to kill Kyle and a kid. In Waukesha, innocent men, women, and children, but a driver with a criminal rap sheet and who even had an outstanding warrant. He was released, even though he had an active warrant for a sex offense, with, I believe, in Utah. Motive in Kenosha, self-defense, no question about it. In Waukesha, media isn't telling us, but believe me, there's really no room for doubt about it. Meanwhile, Kenosha, how did the media respond? Massive coverage in Kenosha of a white supremacist who used an assault rifle to shoot and kill two black men and wound a third. And by the way, they keep using that term assault rifle. An assault rifle is a weapon that's fully automatic. The AR-15 Kyle had was a semi-automatic, not fully automatic. Therefore, it was not an assault weapon. It's not a weapon of war. I fired an AR-15 before. It's a lightweight, very versatile, all-around rifle. I can't imagine, for all purpose, a better weapon than an AR-15. So, of course, they want to demonize. They want to get this out of the hands of the American people. It ain't working. Sales of guns are shooting up because of the absurdity of the Democrats' defund the police movement, letting everyone realize that if they can't defend themselves, they most certainly cannot count on the police to do it. So in Waukesha, we're getting restricted coverage, even suggesting he was fleeing a domestic disturbance or a knife fight. But how could that possibly explain it? I mean, think about it. If you were fleeing a knife fight, once you're in your SUV, you simply lock the doors and you're safe. If you're fleeing a domestic disturbance, that doesn't justify driving through a barrier. There are side roads. He could have easily turned. This is obviously deliberate. But they don't want to admit it because it's so devastating to the Democrats' official narrative. And then, of course, in Georgia, we have three white guys found guilty of murder for attempting a citizen's arrest of a black man whom they believe was burglarizing local buildings. And where I'm disturbed by the verdicts of murder in these cases, there were like 16 charges against these three guys altogether, and like 14 of the 16 they found guilty. I mean, it's obvious to me they didn't set out with the intent to kill him, that this happened when there was a struggle over the weapon and he was shot. But the fact is that the jury came in with a guilty verdict against three whites, and they fit the classic mold of rednecks killing a black man again. That completely vitiates the Democrat narrative, because here you have white men being held responsible in a court of law for shooting a black man. That's precisely what the Democrats insist never happens in America, because we're a racist society. We're a racist society. So a black man cannot get justice. In fact, you had some who were celebrating this conviction, saying, you know, that there is justice in America, that the day has come. Meanwhile, in Milwaukee, a BLM militant says a Christmas parade attack may be the start of a revolution. An activist by the name of Vaughn May said it sounds possible that the revolution has started in Wisconsin. Let me share with you a report about this. A Milwaukee Black Lives Matter activist said the Christmas parade attack in Waukesha appears to symbol the revolution may have begun. Now, the revolution he's talking about is helter-skelter. This was Charlie Manson's plan for a race war where he was trying to provoke it with the Tate LaBianca murders in Los Angeles, where he was prosecuted by Vince Bugliosi. A book published about it called Helter Skelter explained that Charlie's motivation was he believed he could initiate a race war that blacks, because they were stronger than whites, would prevail. But because they were also dumber, they would need leadership. And Charlie and his band would emerge from the hills to provide that leadership. This was Charles Manson's sick agenda for the revolution. But now you got a Milwaukee Black Lives activist saying it may be now it's begun here in Mishawaka. I don't know. Now we'll have to wait and see, because they do have somebody in custody. We may have to wait and see what they say about why this happened, Von Meis said on Facebook Live. But it sounds possible that the revolution has started in Wisconsin. It started with this Christmas parade. Mays is a well-known activist in Milwaukee who describes himself as a battle rapper, community activist, songwriter, tattoo artist, militant, in his Twitter bio, accompanied by various hashtags, including Black Lives Matter, Black Loves Matter, and RBG, which may or may not be a reference to Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Here's a tweet from nobody. Black Lives Matter activist Von L. Mays at the scene of the Waukesha parade attack. It sounds like the revolution has started, mentions hearing from a source who believes Daryl Brooks may have been motivated by the Kyle Rittenhouse verdict. Rittenhouse, of course, was acquitted following a high-profile trial involving the shooting of two men and injuring another in Kenosha last summer. The riots came in response to a white police officer shooting a black man, Jacob Blake, leaving him partly paralyzed. Well, that case, which initiated all these riots in Kenosha, is worth reviewing, because here you had a guy, another black man with a criminal record. He had a knife in his hand. He was kidnapping children. The mother of the children was saying, "He's got my kids. He's got my kids." The officer approached and identified themselves and asked him to drop it. He didn't drop it. He was shot multiple times. This is supposed to be another instance of white guys, white police killing innocent black men, except he wasn't innocent. They claim he was unarmed, but he was in fact armed. The whole matter was a justified shoot. Brooks also, of course, has an extensive criminal record dating back to 1999, made bail twice in Wisconsin this year, despite having an active sex crime warrant in, it turns out, Nevada, not Utah. No connection, they're claiming, has been found between the attack and the not guilty verdict in the Kyle Rittenhouse trial, but that's a manifest absurdity. What could be more obvious? Authorities have arrested Daryl Brooks Jr. and have charged him with 5 counts of first-degree intentional. Now, I've just published on my blog a very fine piece by Damian Wilson. The Waukesha massacre is not a crash, and there's nothing accidental about it. The idea that a murderous rampage that left 6 dead when career criminal Daryl Brooks plowed through a holiday crowd in his SUV was accidental showed just how twisted and self-serving the world of woke has become. Across the mainstream media, the incident in Waukesha that left dozens more injured after sex offender Brooks drove through the parade is referred to as a crash. It wasn't a crash. It was a massacre. And if you take into account the content of Brooks' social media account, his admiration of Hitler and his loathing of white folks, Jews, and even fellow black people, you'd be on safe ground calling it a domestic terror attack. Meanwhile, and by the way, this article was published in Russia Today, you're not going to find the mainstream publishing anything as honest and accurate and candid as this. Liberal actress slams media coverage of Waukesha attack. This is Deborah Messing tweeting, "Dear mainstream media, a man intentionally drove his car through a parade, killing 6 and injuring 50 plus. It was not an accident. Call it by its name, Waukesha Massacre. And it was a domestic terror attack. Don't minimize, please." She's got it right. He continues, "So why the cop out? Why is the mainstream insisting on portraying a calculated and cold-blooded attack on an unsuspecting prey of regular people out enjoying themselves as some sort of accident? The slaughter was as accidental as the 2016 attack along the Promenade d'Anglais in Nice, France, which left 86 dead and 458 injured after an Islamic extremist drove a 19-ton lorry into Bastille Day revelers. Well, Ole Domegaard and I have done this. That was a stage that was phony. The bodies in the street were actually mannequins. It is not an accident as Islamist terrorist Khalid Massoud driving his hire car into pedestrians on London's Westminster Bridge in 2017, killing six and injuring 50 more, or Tunisian jihadist Anas Amri mowing down shoppers at a Berlin Christmas market in 2016, killing 12 and leaving 49 injured. Well, sad to say, Nick Kohlerstern has done the job on these. We have in a book by Nick at Moonrite Books. Those were stage attacks too. But what happened, Mishawaka, sad to say, were real. In all these cases, the lorries, cars, and even SUVs have been used as lethal weapons aimed at innocent civilians, with more than 100 people murdered. So why is everyone so timid about labeling Brooks as a terrorist? Even the most cursory glance at this nut job social media shows a man angry at everyone, black, white, Jew, capitalist, the police, you name them. Brooks hates them. So much so that it's quite easy to conclude that the collection of memes, smartphone rants, and rap videos starring himself amount to the expression of a political stance or a deeply held conviction, even though it's hard to extract exactly what the 39-year-old career criminal is railing about. I mean, here is a black man who expresses admiration for Adolf Hitler. Maybe a clue is in the all-powerful narrative that surrounds race in the USA. To call a black man who has clearly struggled to engage with the rest of society in any meaningful way for nearly 40 years old a terrorist is to deny him victimhood. That, as an active member of the criminal underclass, he is afforded by the proponents of critical race theory. To some, Brooks is the victim here. So they'll just call this unfortunate incident in Waukesha a crash. We'll be back after the break with Danny Siris. Don't go away.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? and that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Before I bring Danny in and invite his comments on all of the above, I want to complete this report by Damian Wilson, who turns out to be a UK journalist, ex-Fleet Street editor, financial industry consultant, and political communication special advisor in the UK and the EU. In other words, this is a serious guy giving a serious report. That's more accurate than anything we're finding in the mainstream media here in the United States. So we're virtually to the end. I want to complete, and I remind you, this is available on my blog at jamesfetzer.org. Maybe a clue, as I was observing, is in the all-powerful narrative that surrounds race in the USA. To call a black man who has clearly struggled to engage with the rest of society in any meaningful way for nearly 40 years a terrorist is to deny him victimhood that, even as an active member of the criminal underclass, he is afforded by the proponents of critical race theory. To some, Brooks is the victim here, so they'll just call this unfortunate incident in Waukesha a crash, a mistake, an accident, because after all, Brooks was allegedly simply fleeing from the scene of a domestic violence, albeit as the aggressor, before inadvertently driving through the middle of a holiday parade. Someone in this socioeconomic mire deserves a break, don't they? This is the idiotic progressive thinking that can inform reports surrounding an incident such as Waukesha. Tiptoeing through the language minefield, lest a class of people identified by a shared race, gender, or socioeconomic category take umbrage, so that reality is grossly distorted, the truth buried beneath a steaming pile of political correctness. It's a sort of cluelessness that has led so-called criminal experts in California, I know, suggests that the media and law enforcement stop using the term looting to describe a recent spate of brazen smash-and-grab raids on luxury stores in the state because somehow the term is racist and intentionally politicizes the crimes. I don't know. It seems like the wrong word in this case because looting is usually the term applied in cases where a state of emergency exists, and that's not the case here. But who am I to step in the middle of a nonsense argument? That's how easy it is to offend when you're not up to date with the nuances of the English language as it is misunderstood in woke USA. But like so many modern debates, whoever sets the terms of engagement and the language that is used to define an argument is usually the winner. It just so happens that the losers in Waukesha are not a bunch of entitled, self-absorbed West Coast academics. They are six innocent people whose lives were cut short by a murderous lunatic in an attack that most certainly was no crash. To state otherwise denies the dead and those they leave behind the justice they deserve. Now, I'm very pleased to be joined today by Danny Siris once again. And I know Danny has much to say about all of what I've been reviewing here. Danny, welcome back to The Raw Deal.
Hello, sir. Good to see you. Very good to be with you today.
I'm delighted, Danny. I want your thoughts about all of the above.
Where would you like to start, sir? Was quite a handful you covered there and quite of an array of subjects. Which one do you want to start on?
Well, look, Danny, we got three cases, each of which in different ways vitiates the liberal progressive Democrat platform, their agenda, that blacks are always the victims and whites are always the aggressors. You got the case in Kenosha with Kyle Rittenhouse, where a white man shoots three other white men, and yet it's being portrayed as though he had shot blacks. And when he acted in self-defense, they want to make it out that he was committing murder. In fact, that's the crime for which he was indicted in Kenosha. And then obviously we have in Waukesha, a black man, an aggressive criminal with a terrible background, who's even written about how to get away with killing people by driving them over with a car, running into a parade celebrating Christmas at high speed and mowing them down. I mean, it was just awful to watch. And that, of course, completely inverts, because now you have a black man who's being aggressive against clearly innocent whites and mowing them down like they were corn in a field, and he were the grim reaper. And then we have the case in Georgia, where three rednecks, three white guys who were trying to effect a citizen's arrest on a black man whom they suspected had committed burglaries in the neighborhood, inadvertently shoot him. And I think there's no doubt that this was inadvertent. They certainly didn't intend to do so. Wind up being convicted of murder. And while I think that's they were overcharged to begin with, and this is not a just verdict, nevertheless, you have whites being found guilty for committing murder of a black, for killing a black. And it again, contradicts the claim that we cannot get racial justice in America because we are a systemically racist society. Danny, we got three cases, in my opinion, each one in different ways, just rips the Democrats apart. I think politically for the Democratic Party, these three developments are devastating. Your thoughts?
Well, I agree, sir. I mean, we could probably do a show on each one of those particular subjects, but we can start with the Kyle. You know, like you, I follow that case very, very close, studied all the available footage that came out at the time. And immediately what I saw is, you know, in the preliminary hearing, I think the whole case should have been dropped as self-defense. There was enough evidence that they had immediately to show that Kyle, you know, only fired his weapon at the suspects when he was attacked or when his life was in danger. That was clearly a self-defense. Anybody that tried to turn it into anything else was done for obviously political, you know, reasons, in my opinion, sir. I mean, you know, if you take a look at young Kyle, I've talked about this with many law enforcement friends I have. You know, for a 17-year-old kid, to me, he handled himself quite well. I mean, you know, he didn't have a sidearm on him. He wasn't wearing body armor, which I thought was really interesting. But, you know, he only fired his weapon, sir, when his life was under direct threat. And for him to have the trigger, I call it trigger discipline, that he had with his rifle was quite amazing, sir. You know, he only fired again his weapon when he was under direct threat. He didn't fire it wildly at anybody else. He didn't fire warning shots. I mean, you know, take the case of the one man that pointed the handgun at him. You know, he tried to kind of lure Kyle in by holding his hands up. Then he pulls the gun out. And only when he pointed the gun at Kyle did Kyle fire. And when Kyle shot him, sir, Kyle only fired one round at that time, striking the guy in the arm. The man dropped the handgun, and then Kyle got finger off the trigger, lowered his weapon, and didn't keep going. You know what? I'm not sure, sir, myself, because I wasn't in that situation. I probably would have double-tapped him and gave him one in the head. I mean, somebody fires, points a gun at you like that, you know, the rules are off. They're obviously going to be taking your life. You got to take those threats very, very seriously. But yet Kyle fired one time, and when the guy dropped the gun, Kyle lowered his weapon, again, finger off the trigger, extreme discipline, and stopped, okay? He didn't keep going. Again, he could have unloaded on this guy and gave him two or three quick shots and taken him completely out, but he didn't do that. So that is not the MO of a murderer, sir, okay? He's very, very disciplined in when he fired his weapon. You can easily take a look at each circumstances when he did so. And you know what? People can say whatever they want. I'm quite proud of Kyle. I think he's a hero for the way he acted. I think he acted absolutely amazing and very, very mature for a 17-year-old carrying a weapon the way that he did. I'm very sorry he got separated from the crew that he was with that night the way it happened. I wish he could have stayed with his group, which would have, you know, worked out much better. But again, it happened. Stuff happens, as they say. And he handled them very well. And the court system was extremely corrupt. And I'm sure we're going to get into talking about how they withheld exculpatory evidence, you know, how they lied about this case to taint the jury pool. I mean, they did so many things. There was so much misconduct, prosecutor misconduct in this, sir. In my opinion, at this point, the prosecutor should be, you know, brought up on charges, fired, and prosecuted himself. There's many attorneys around the country who've gone to jail for doing this. And, you know, this attorney was walking the line. It was quite embarrassing the way he put on this case. You can see it was quite politically motivated, sir. I mean, it was a ridiculous case to be brought. The evidence came out in trial. Anybody that watched it is probably sitting around, what are we doing here? This is a case of self-defense. You know, look how he's acting. You know, the lies kept coming out in the case constantly. I mean, it was quite a farce, if I call it. And, you know, Kyle did come out on the end. It was quite dramatic in the end. I was quite happy for him and relieved because the right of self-defense is restored. You know, this case to me, sir, when I look at it overall from, you know, the 40,000-foot view, to me it was about the left going after the right of self-defense. This is my personal opinion. They were going after the right. They're going after anybody that's conservative, anybody that believes in the Second Amendment, anybody that carries a weapon. They were trying to send a message that the left can do whatever they want. They can point guns at you. They can burn your house down. They can do whatever they want if they're working for the left of the Democrat Party. And if anybody that's in the middle or in the right picks up a weapon or does anything to interfere with the damage, the chaos that Black Lives Matter is causing, you do anything to stop that process, to defend yourself in any way, the left prosecutes the right. It's ridiculous. I see it happening all over the country in all the different states, but particularly I see the Democrat states. It's everything is reversed right now. Let's prosecute people. I see DAs around the country start trying to prosecute homeowners or shooting people that are breaking into their house. You know what I mean? It's absolutely ridiculous what I see that's going on in these inner cities. This was a blatant attack against the Second Amendment and anybody conservative that wants to defend themselves from a criminal that's trying to attack them and take their life. And they were trying to send a message, don't you dare defend your life against anybody from the left. When we decide to come after you, you need to just die when we say you need to die. You have no right of self-defense. And that's, to me, what this case was about, sir.
I think that's a brilliant dissection, Danny. And let me say, even the prosecutor, this Bringer guy, who's a miscreant, in my opinion, and should be disbarred, if not actually prosecuted for his misconduct and sentenced to jail. He said, sometimes you have to take a beating. We all have to take a beating sometimes, as though Kyle should have let himself be beaten to death. I mean, that's what they're ignoring here. And as I've observed already, most deaths in the United States are from being beaten to death by bare hands and knuckles or being strangled to death, not from shooting. And the overwhelming preponderance of those who are shot to death are shot with handguns, not with rifles. So they're talking about relatively obscure cases, but I think you got the motivation exactly right, Danny. They brought this case, even though they knew it was unjust, that it wasn't warranted by the facts, as an opportunity to attack not only the Second Amendment, but the very idea of self-defense. I think you are spot on, my friend. I like it. Let's turn to Mishawaka then as the sequel, which I'm convinced was a consequence of the mainstream fake news reporting that Kyle had shot black men and was a white supremacist who was a vigilante gone wild, where the jury simply acquitted him and this guy, Daryl Brooks, wanted retaliation, wanted revenge. Your thoughts, Danny?
You know, sir, I looked at that like everybody else with horror. I actually looked at the rap sheet of the career criminal that did that. I don't even like saying his name, give him any recognition. But this is a guy, sir, when you look at his criminal record, okay, and I analyzed quite a bit of stuff about him. I mean, he even was running from child support, this guy. He was just a dirty, nasty human being, sir. He's been that way for a long time, okay? He's black. He obviously hated the world. If you look at his rap sheet, he had a history of violent crimes. He had gun crimes, sex crimes. I mean, he just had, you know, a list of violent crimes over and over. And what I don't understand, but in a way I do understand, why was this guy even out on the streets in the first place? This is the sort of guy that should have been, that is demonstrated that he's a career criminal a long time ago. He should have been locked up in a cage where he belonged for the rest of his life, or at least until he was an old man walking with a cane. And it's just obvious. You know, people need to understand, sir, when you're dealing with people like this, okay, they don't care about themselves. They don't care anything about their life. People like me, you, most people in our audience today, sir, you know, we have a reason to live every day, right? We have families we're raising. We have, you know, goals we're trying to achieve. We're trying to do things that are important in life. We're trying to do good in life. And we're also enjoying our life. When you get to a level of criminality that he was at, this guy, every day he woke up for the purpose of violence. He really didn't have a purpose. He was either going to rape, rob, or steal, and that's it. And he was going to continue to do that, sir, for the rest of his life until he was either put away for life or put down for life. And that's the way it is with some of these career criminals when they get to this point. Okay? That's the kind of person that we're dealing with. He didn't care anything about his life. He didn't care if he lived or died. And because when you get to a state like that, sir, he was lashing out at anybody that got in his way. He was in pure survival mode with his crimes, and he didn't care who he hurt or what he did. When he wanted to achieve whatever crime he wanted to achieve for the day, anybody that got in his way, he would hesitate at not to take them out in any way he see fit. He was a one-man wrecking ball, okay? Guys like this are animals, okay? I call it what it is, sir. Some people don't like me to use that term, but I don't care. This guy was a wild animal walking on the streets. And you know what? That particular day, he was set off with rage again. This isn't the first time, okay? This is not the first time that he set off with a violent crime. And he decided, you know what? I'm going to take it out. I think it was sort of racially motivated. He just decided to take it out on a crowd of innocent people. you know what? He got in his car. He did what he did. And he obviously was trying to take out as many people that were, you know, celebrating as he could do, because his life was terrible. He had multiple felonies. He had nothing to live for. And he just had a bunch of rage and he wanted to take it out on the world. And we saw him express this, sir, in the way that he did. I think it was no accident whatsoever, sir, no accident that his bail was lowered down to $1,000. Somebody, in my opinion, somebody went in on purpose and went into that bail schedule on the computer system. I don't know how that system works and where he's from or where the jail he was in, but somebody purposely went in there and lowered his bail with a keystroke. Somebody went in there and changed it. And what I'm telling now by my research is I see there's an investigation going on because they're calling it a mistake at the jail. People are pointing fingers at each other there who lowered this guy. They're calling it a mistake and that somebody lowered his bail by accident. I say that was no accident, sir. Somebody went in there again. Don't know who that person is or how they could have gone in. Maybe even somebody hacked it. We don't know yet. But there's an investigation to find out who is the person or persons that went in there and lowered this particular guy's bail down to $1,000 to arrange that he got on the street in the first place. And I'm saying, sir, I don't think it was an accident.
Well,
his bail was lowered down to $1,000, but we don't know the person that did that yet.
Well, we do, Danny. Actually, the DEA, who is funded by George Soros, and he's been doing this all over the country to get these progressive district attorneys who don't actually believe in law and order or punishing for crimes, he actually said he was going to, you know, go for no bail for virtually everyone who's arrested and indicted to get them back out on the street. And he said he admitted he knows that innocent people are going to be harmed or even killed as a consequence, but he thought it was the right thing to do. Well, this guy ought to be strung up, you know, after due process of law. Of course, I'm not advocating violence. I'm advocating a suitable punishment for the dereliction of duty of this district attorney, where George Soros has dedicated himself and his billions to the destruction of America. His greatest wish is to see America destroyed before he dies, where his death, in my opinion, cannot come soon enough. Danny.
Yeah, you know, sir, I'm not finished with my looking into the bail situation. I know the DA there is bad. There's no doubt about it. But there is some talk that somebody went in and sort of changed the bail on this individual because of the crimes that he was being held for. So, but with that said, sir, I agree. This particular man needs to stand trial. I think the death penalty is more than warranted in this case. And you know what? I do believe he should probably be hung. They should bring back hangings. I don't believe we should put a guy like this in jail because, you know, something can happen down the road. Someone can let him out of jail again. He has demonstrated again, sir, that his role in life is nothing more than what I would call a depopulation agent. And all he's going to do is bring pain to everybody around him. He doesn't care about himself. He doesn't care about anybody's life. You, me, you know, the guy on the corner, he doesn't care. And when you get a criminal like that, and I've seen and had to deal with criminals like this, sir, you know what? They just as soon kill you and take you out at any moment. They can care less about anybody or anything. And it's very easy to diagnose these criminals. You can look at their rap sheet. You can see the violent crimes that they have committed. It was just disgusting. And the fact that these Soros DAs around the country are going around wreaking havoc there is just, something's got to be done by this. I don't know what to do about this once they get in there. There's a DA in Los Angeles that's doing very similar things. He's wreaking havoc. He's not even charging crimes. He'll arrest these felons, sir. Los Angeles is just one example. I spoke to an attorney the other day that's down there, and they don't even charge them now. They'll take their weapon, they'll bring them to the jail, there's no charges filed, and they send them down the sidewalk. It's just absolutely horrific what's going on in some of these cities, and no wonder we have a rise in crime, because these DAs are sending a signal to these criminals that you can do whatever you want, and you're just going to get a paperwork process. You're going to get out on no bail, and you can go right back to doing your thing. And the word is out in these cities, sir. And that's why we're seeing these outrageous crimes the way we're seeing today.
Oh, Danny, I couldn't agree more. I think you've got everything spot on. Before we turn to the Georgia situation after the break, would you not agree with me that already these two cases just create chaos with respect to the Democrats' political agenda and their unrelenting propaganda of demonizing white persons, of white superiority, of systemic racism, that the blacks are the oppressed, that the blacks are always the victims of the whites? I think it's just been destroyed every which way from Sunday. Yours.
I totally agree with that, sir. I mean, you know, I'm tired of the narrative. You know, to me, I judge each case singularity and on its merits, and I'm tired. What I see is a bunch of violent criminals out there committing crime. I think these violent criminals, in my opinion, sir, are they're creating a racist environment, and the racism is coming from law-abiding citizens who cannot stand felons and are tired of violent criminals walking the street. You know, if you're a law-abiding citizen, again, you're out there working, you're making a living, doing whatever you're doing, you're taking care of a family, you're trying to do good in the world, you know, and then a violent criminal is purposely let out of jail to cause chaos. People are tired of this, sir. They're tired of this. You know, there's horrific crimes going on in this country. We have gangs now that are shooting at commuters on the freeway for fun, sir. In Texas, we have gangs in Texas that are opening up and shooting at people in strip malls for fun because they're walking around the streets with guns and they know the police aren't coming after them. Some of the things that are going on in this country, sir, because of these corrupt district attorneys, it's beyond anything that people can comprehend. What is going on? The corruption is going on. This is all by design. This is part of their plan, sir, to create chaos in this country. And then, of course, just to keep saying racism, 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 which is absolutely ridiculous. And I agree 100% with you, sir, that, you know, these crimes do blow apart the Democrat narrative. And they also help to expose what I like. They help to expose these corrupt district attorneys that have been backed by Soros, that have been strategically placed around this, sir.
Well, Danny, we're up against a break. We'll be right back with Danny Suras about Kenosha, Mishawaka, and what happened in Georgia, too.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
That the Capitol will ever treat us fairly. You are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons in the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, Danny, the other case I want us to address is the only one the media are going to talk about. I mean, even though Wishikaka and Kyle Rittenhouse and what happened in Wishikaka are overwhelmingly more stunning and traumatic, they're going to talk about three white men guilty of murdering the black man, Ahmaud Arbery, Georgia jury finds, because at least that's consistent with the idea of white men being the perpetrators of crimes against blacks. And while I think these verdicts are ridiculous in relation to the evidence, they acted in what appears to have been a sincere belief that they had the right to perform a citizen's arrest on a man whom, so far as I can discern, they sincerely believed had been committing robberies in the area and was, even if he was jogging, they interpreted his actions as running away from a scene, and where they got into a scuffle where one of the three had a weapon and the weapon discharged and killed him. I can't see anything that constitutes felony murder here, even remotely, Danny. I think this might be a good case for manslaughter, but the fact is that these guys were three white guys, classic rednecks, who were convicted of murdering a black man, seems to me to actually, you know, contradict the Democrat line, but less dramatically than what happened in Kenosha and Mishawaka. Your thoughts?
Well, sir, I'd like to talk about some of the evidence in this case, if we could. I looked at quite a bit of it. I remember when this case came out pretty well. And I remember when the video came out showing the suspect actually going into one of the construction properties. Let's start off with his clothes, you know, and the narrative. The narrative was that it was a black man simply out jogging and he was attacked by white people. Okay, and you know what? You got families around the country that believe this. You know what? If it makes you feel good and you want to believe that, you can do that. It is a complete lie. Okay, he didn't live on this side of town. Let's start with that. He had no reason to be in this neighborhood. He didn't know anybody in this neighborhood. He didn't have any relatives, no friends in this neighborhood. He had no reason, sir, to be in this upper class, newer neighborhood. No reason whatsoever. Let's take a look at his clothes. He wasn't wearing jogging clothes at all. Okay, he was wearing more work clothes and work boots. He had no jogging clothes at all. So it's not like he drove his car over and he thought, you know what, I'll just pick this nice new neighborhood and I think I'm going to wear my work boots and I'm going to go jogging in this neighborhood today. That's not his MO. You can easily look at the reason why he was there. Then he gets caught on video. Okay, and I remember when the video came out, there was a bunch of deniers out there saying, well, you know, it changed the tone. When you can see him going into the property looking around for things to steal, okay, he was trespassing. He knew he wasn't supposed to be in those properties. He knew it, okay, but he got caught. He was looking for a crime of opportunity, something he can steal. It was obvious, okay, and he got caught. Simple as that. And when he got caught and confronted by the former police detective, okay, he took off and ran. Now, if he didn't have anything to hide, sir, anything to hide, when a law-abiding citizen, former police officer, stopped him in the way that he did and stopped him at gunpoint, why would you run? A law-abiding citizen would easily explain the situation and say, you know what, sir, I apologize. I was looking at this property because I'm considering moving here. Here's my driver's license. Let's happily get the police over here. You know, I'll explain this and I'll sit right here on this curb. I have no problem proving to the world that I'm not a criminal. A law-abiding citizen would do that, but he did not do that, sir. He ran because he was caught, okay, in the act. Plain and simple, and he was caught on video, by the way. So if people want to ignore the video, ignore the charge background, ignore all that, so be it, but I'm not going to ignore it. Okay, and then when they caught the guy down the road, whatever, when they caught the guy, there was a struggle for the firearm, sir. And the video's a little bit grainy, it's hard to see, but you can see there was a struggle for the shotgun. Well, guess what, sir? It appears that the black man lost the struggle for the weapon. Okay, now, let's take a look at that. If you're not a criminal, sir, and someone stops you, are you going to go ahead and attack them and try to take their weapon off of them? No, I don't think so. I think it would be absolutely ridiculous for anybody to try to grab somebody's firearm from them when they're telling you to stop because they caught you trespassing. You're somewhere where you should not be. They're simply telling you to stop. They call the police. They want you to wait until the police show up. Okay, you know what? Just sit on the curb. Just sit down. Okay, pull out your ID and explain what's going on to the police when they get there. This will get sorted out. If you don't have any weapons on you illegally, you don't have any stolen merchandise on you, okay, you haven't done anything, you're not going to get arrested. The police are going to come and clear you, and they're going to go down the road, and you're going to go down the road, okay, and it's over. But that's not what this guy did, sir. In the case of when he was caught, he struggled and got into a fight with one of them and tried to grab the weapon from the guy's hand. That is not the actions of a law-abiding citizen, sir. Criminals do that, okay? I like to point that out. Criminals do that. And when he lost the struggle, now, if a big guy like that tries to come after you and grab your weapon, is he taking it from you? Because he's like, gee, that's a nice shotgun. I'd like to see that. Can I see what kind of shotgun that is? That's not why he's doing it. Okay? He was going to take that shotgun, sir, and use it against those people. That's what was going to happen. So you're not going to give up your weapon. Of course there's going to be a struggle for the weapon. Well, guess what? He lost the struggle and got shot. So you know what? This is just another case of self-defense, in my opinion. It shouldn't have even gone to trial. But because he's black, he has some sort of a license to trespass. He has some sort of a license to do what he did. He has a license to fight and run and grab the weapon from somebody. This thing was twisted, sir, There was multiple lies that came out about this case over and over again. I don't understand how the jury could have possibly come to this conclusion. And yes, sir, I believe under appeal, they're going to win this, and this is going to be overturned. I just don't understand how somebody like this can go attack somebody, grab their weapon, fight for it. With all the circumstances around this case, including the video, he loses the fight for the weapon, and then he gets shot. And the person defending themselves, fighting with the guy over the weapon, has to go to prison because this guy did this. It's just absolutely ridiculous. Again, the world is flipped upside down, sir. There's something going on with this case. I can't put my finger on it, but this is another case of self-defense to me. It's obvious, and that's my take on it, sir.
Oh, Danny, I think you're doing a great job, and I'm so glad you're more deeply immersed in this case than I, because, well, I can give you a chapter and verse about, you know, what happened in the case of Rittenhouse and this Daryl Brooks thing. I'm still getting my feet wet in relation to this Aubrey killing. But I think everything you say makes sense. I'm looking at an article now, again, in the Wisconsin State Journal published today, What to Expect After the Guilty Verdict. Three Georgia men face life in prison as minimum sentence. Here, I'll just read a bit. This is from the Associated Press. The killing was captured on video and shared around the world. Ahmaud Aubrey running toward and then around an idling pickup truck before its driver blasted him at close range with a shotgun. That even makes it sound like he shot him from the truck. I mean, much less having a struggle over the gun. So this is a gross misdescription right off the bat. But see, it picks up. Soon after Travis McMichael fatally shot Aubrey on February 23, 2020, his father, Greg McMichael, told police how the pair had armed themselves, chased the young black man, and trapped him like a rat. Neighbor William Roddy Bryant told officers he joined the pursuit and helped cut off Aubrey's escape. After a 13-day trial at the Glenn County Courthouse in Georgia, a disproportionately white jury, found the three white men guilty of murder. Each man was also convicted on lesser charges. And I'll just add a little more because you can begin to see the absurdity of the way this is being portrayed. On what charges was each man convicted? A 9-count indictment charged all three men with 1 count of malice murder, 4 counts of felony murder, 2 counts of aggravated assault, 1 count of false imprisonment, 1 count of criminal attempt to commit a felony, in this case, false imprisonment. Travis McMichael was convicted of all 9 charges. Greg McMichael convicted of all charges except malice murder. Ryan was convicted of 3 counts of felony murder, 1 count of aggravated assault, 1 count of false imprisonment, 1 count of criminal attempt to commit a felony. Now, murder requires bringing about the death of a person knowingly, deliberately. I mean, you have to be deliberately bringing about the death of a human being and wrongfully. So there are the elements. You're bringing about a death. You're doing so deliberately, and it is wrongful. In particular, it's illegal. This is why, in my opinion, abortion for the first 2 trimesters turns out not actually to qualify as murder, because as I understand the Supreme Court in Roe v. Wade, the developing entity is not a person and entitled to the legal, social, and moral standing thereof until the end of the first trimester. So as I read the law, you can't have abortion being murder because in the first 2 trimesters, because we're not dealing with the killing of a person. We are dealing with the killing of a fetus that would develop into a person were the gestation allowed to proceed. We're also not dealing with killing a child. So I take the, you know, claims, anti-abortionist claim that this is murdering children. Since A child only exists after it's the result of a live birth. Now, I'm not trying to engage in a debate about abortion here. I'm just talking about how the elements that are required for murder to take place, to wit, that it's the deliberate killing of a human being, of a person, that is wrongful, in particular illegally, may or may not apply to these various cases, and where we have to become more sophisticated in the manner in which we address them. Danny, I think you would agree that this simplistic depiction of what happened makes it sound as though they may have even shot him from the truck, that he was just out jogging. They boxed him in and they shot him like a dog with a shotgun. And as you are describing, having reviewed the videos and so forth, nothing like that has taken place. I don't know their definition of malice murder or felony murder, but surely they have to include the having formed the intention in advance to bring about the death of this party, which I do not believe was the case for any of the participants, even the guy holding the gun. Your thoughts, Danny?
Well, sir, you know, I definitely would like to add to that. Murder requires, you know, planning ahead of time, some kind of forethought planning. So there's no murder here at all. That's why there's something else more going on with this case, sir. I can't put my finger on it, but there was no pre-planning. Okay, they caught a thief in their neighborhood. Okay, that's it. So the struggle over the firearm alone should tell most people what's going on here. And think about it. If you're holding a thief at bay that you catch in your neighborhood, and that thief, all of a sudden, when the police are rolling and they're on their way to the scene, and all of a sudden he decides to get up and attack you and take your firearm from you, okay? Put yourself in that position. Think about it. What would you do? Would you just say, oh, excuse me, kind sir, here's my gun, and wait for the police? Are you going to do that? Are you going to allow him to get your gun? Because I'm telling you, if you're thinking that, you're going to be dead. Because he only wants your weapon so he can use it on you or use it on somebody else. Okay? You never give up your gun for any reason. So if you're ever going to point a weapon at somebody, you better be damn sure that you can use it or you shouldn't have one. And that's absolutely ridiculous, this narrative. They caught this guy. He knew, sir, what was going on in his head. I can't surmise, but I can tell you this. He was going back to prison, and he knew it. He knew it. And what was in between him, sir, and that little 3x6 cage that he was going to go back to? Let me tell you what was in between him. Was in between him was that shotgun that that guy had. That was the signal. That was the key to his freedom. And in his head, he was thinking at that moment, let me see. If I can get that shotgun away from that guy, I can go back to doing what I like to do. I don't have to go to jail today. But if I comply and I sit here and wait for the police, with my background, there's a pretty good chance that I'm going to get the chrome bracelets and I'm going to jail. So what is in the mindset that somebody, that they would rather, instead of just go to jail, probably for a misdemeanor, okay, instead of just getting arrested, you pay your fine, you get a lawyer, whatever, you roll the dice. Instead of doing that, you will risk your life and you're going to get into a struggle for a firearm to avoid jail. I'd like everyone to think about that. How desperate must that person be to avoid jail that they're willing to risk death, okay? They're willing to risk their life and death to take on and to go after somebody with a firearm like that. That's exactly what this guy did. So the fact that the firearm went off, sir, after a struggle, was that jury, what I would have argued, was the man holding the shotgun, was he expected when he was attacked by this man? Was he expected to simply say, here's my shotgun, kind sir. Go ahead and sit on the curb with my shotgun and wait for the police. Was they really expected to do that? What would you do? What would any human do if he was holding a weapon, he was attacked by somebody and they were trying to take your gun? You can ask any police officer in this country what would happen. There's many criminals in jail that have been shot or in the morgue by a police officer because they've been attacked. So how is this really any different than when somebody attacks an armed police officer if they attacked an armed citizen that's trying to affect the citizen's arrest? It is no different, sir. It is no different at all, except for in these, when you get these overzealous district attorneys that are trying to make a political weapon out of a case. And that is what's happening here. This is absolutely a ridiculous case. This would have been, at minimum, sir, involuntary manslaughter. At minimum, involuntary manslaughter. How you come up with murder? And I don't understand. There was only one guy with a shotgun. What are all the other felonies for the other guys that were there? I don't understand. They didn't have the gun. So how are you going to charge them with a bunch of felonies? For what this is, sir, to me, again, is this is nothing more than the left, okay? They're trying to send a loud message to the public that if you see a felon in your neighborhood, particularly if he's black, and you do anything to try and hinder him in committing crime, you try to stop him, you try to slow him down, you try to stop him from burning somebody's house down. If you do anything to stop him, they're going to prosecute you. They're trying to take away every last ounce of self-defense that we have. They're trying to license somebody on the left to give them full reign. It reminds me, sir, of cases where a guy has a Molotov cocktail. He's lighting it, okay? And he's standing out in front of my house during a riot. He's got a Molotov cocktail. He goes to light it. I can clearly see he's black. I have my firearm on him. I'm telling him to drop the cocktail. He lights it. He cocks his arm back like a quarterback. He's getting ready to throw it. And right when he reaches back to throw it, bam, I double tap him. And he falls on the ground, and there goes the cocktail. Now what? The district attorney is going to prosecute me for murder? You know what? These DAs, sir, what they will tell you, they'll tell you, you know what? I don't care if the black man was going to burn your house down. You should have grabbed your wife and your family and gone out the back door and just let him burn your house down. That's what these district attorneys are saying, sir. Allow the crime to happen. Allow these people to do this. That's why I call them depopulation agents. They're running around creating havoc. They're forcing these incidences of crime. They're forcing people to defend themselves. And people are sick and tired, sir, of these felons walking around the street. Okay? We have millions of people in jail. We need millions more. They need to build an island for these guys and lock them up for life. What happened to three strikes? They're not even enforcing three strikes. You know, they're letting these violent felons out of jail. They know that they're not out getting a job. They're not trying to go to school and better themselves, right? They're not enrolled in any kind of a trade program. They're not doing anything associated with trying to get back onto their life. We've had a few felons, of course, in life come out of jail and go on. They start some sort of a business. They do something to get a job and they move forward, but it's very few. And when you see these repeat violent offenders walking the street, constantly getting stopped by the police, getting caught committing, you know, a robbery, a grand theft, you know, a carjacking over and over, you know, sir, after they're arrested, how many times do we have to allow them to continue to create chaos in our lives? We pay our taxes, we work hard, but yet the left insists that we have to allow these animals to walk around in our neighborhoods and steal our property and destroy our homes because they're on the left. It's absolutely ridiculous, sir. I think it's part of a big agenda to start a race war. I think they would like nothing more, sir, than militias to activate and start some kind of a race war and start a big, huge shooting war. That's my personal opinion. Again, that's my personal opinion. They're trying to get something started in this country, and I hope that never happens, sir, because that would be a massacre beyond belief. We just simply need to enforce the law. We need to get rid of these corrupt district attorneys. These corrupt district attorneys need to be arrested and prosecuted. We need to have a solid justice system that goes after these district attorneys, removes them from power when they do these kind of crimes, because they are crimes when they do this. Doing nothing, sir, I'd like to point out, is just a series of crime as actually doing the wrong thing as doing nothing. And these DAs are put in power, they take an oath. Their job is to prosecute these criminals. And when they do these sort of things for to turn it into a political event, sir, that is breaking the law. And they need to go to prison for what they're doing. They need to be removed. And we need to get a DA in there that's simply going to follow the law and look at the merits of each case. And then we also need judges that lay down the law and give appropriate sentences for what the crimes are. And we are not seeing this, sir, in these Democrat cities. What we're seeing is a reversal. We're seeing this nonsense. We're seeing this these acts of trying to remove self-defense from normal citizens, law-abiding citizens, are simply trying to do the right thing or trying to protect themselves. This is happening in all these Democrat cities, sir, around the country. It's disgusting. I'm tired of seeing it, and something needs to be done, sir. Or in my opinion, eventually, we are going to get some sort of a civil war over this stuff.
Well, Danny, look at what's going on in San Francisco. You had a looting mob 25 cars long. Maybe they were figuring, since the DA declared he wouldn't prosecute over $950 worth, they were going to make close to $25,000, but they seem to have done much more. They looted a Nordstrom. They're going to high-quality stores. They're just walking out with everything under the sun, and the police are doing nothing about it. I mean, this is a destruction of civilized society, Danny. They are turning San Francisco into a wasteland. And it's all because of deliberate policies promulgated and promoted by Democrats. I am dumbfounded. This is grotesque. This is disgusting. Let me announce, we're opening the call-in line. Mitchell will field your call. The number 540-352-4452, 540-352-4452. To speak to Danny and me about these crucial issues. Really stunning, stunning stuff. Absolutely stunning stuff. So we'll be right back after the break forthcoming. And Danny, I'm just delighted to have you here. You're fulfilling my highest expectations, as you do again and again in your coverage, and especially about this Aubrey thing, this bizarre event in Georgia, where I agree with you completely. This appears to be another political stunt, not following the law. And perhaps, Danny, you could look up the meaning of malice murder and felony murder in Georgia during the break. Meanwhile, we're inviting your calls. The number again, 540-352-4452. We'll be right back.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Yeah.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and freedomslips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, before I take our first caller who's standing by, two comments, one on my blog about the article I went through. The Waukesha massacre is not a crash and there's nothing accidental about it. Dave Kraft writes, calling the mowing down of a parade an accident is like saying Jeffrey Dahmer was just really hungry. Next, they'll try to outlaw comedy. Then Mitchell has posted a comment from Paul asking, what about the first 32 seconds when the parade killer missed people? I think that's further confirmation that this was deliberate. If it hit somebody early on, there might have been time to react. Obviously, there would have been horror. There would have been a cry. People would have turned around to see what was going on and seen him coming. So I think the answer to the question, Paul, and it may be this was the point you were getting at, is further evidence that this was a deliberate, intentional act to kill as many people as he could, including zigzagging in the crowd so he could get the largest number. And he appears to have been highly successful in accomplishing his goal. We have standing by a caller from the 802 area code, Chris. Chris from Vermont, join the conversation.
Thank you so much, Jim, and thanks for Mitchell for taking my call. And thank you to all of Revolution Radio presenters, management, listeners, chatters, and supporters for keeping the station so strong. Just a quick comment and then a question for Danny. Did you notice that the police man who gave the press conference about this black supremacist, domestic terrorist, vehicular homicide event in Wisconsin, he specifically said this is not domestic terrorism?
I know it's absurd. It's just completely absurd, saying there's no connection. How would they possibly know? They haven't done any investigation. Were they taking his word for it? I'll tell you, Chris, I get the impression the FBI swooped down there to silence everybody and instruct them on how to handle it. They may have even issued a national security order. They can't reveal the true motives, but it's so blatant, it's so obvious. And that, I believe, Chris, is going to further reveal that the judicial system has been completely corrupted by the Democrats, because this is only something that someone who is deaf, dumb, and blind to these events would say. Danny, would you like to comment on Chris's first observation? Very good one.
I agree, sir. It was complete nonsense to say that. I mean, of course, it was domestic terrorism. It was violent rage from a known felon that was mad at the world. And it was done by a black man. And, sir, his comment was is nothing more than to try and curb people from thinking that black people are out there committing violent crime when they're out there creating violent crime, the most of the violent crime, every single day.
Yes.
He was trying to get on top of it with another lie.
Yes.
And I'd like to backtrack for a minute, sir, on something you just said about San Francisco.
Yes.
You know, the root of this problem, sir, is the corrupt district attorneys around the country. And I'd like to point out to people the two most important officials in any county in this country, period, is your sheriff and your district attorney. If you get anything right in life where you're going to live, you must control who your sheriff is, because we get to vote, and who your district attorney is. And I find most people don't pay attention to the district attorney where they live. They don't get involved with the election. They don't take the time to find out who this person is or what. It is so critical, because the sheriff is the one that does the arresting and says who goes to jail in your county. But the district attorney is the one that prosecutes the crime and puts that person in jail. It's very important to have both your sheriff and your district attorney on the same page, doing constitutional work and doing what they're supposed to be doing. But when you have a sheriff that's arresting and a district attorney that's just simply not prosecuting, in my mind, that is a crime. And that is what's going on in San Francisco. The district attorney has signaled and has licensed the left, if you will, and people of color, that they can rape, rob, and steal at will, and nothing will happen. Sir, I'd like to point out that at our jails, some of them have trailers out in front where they simply just book a prisoner in and they send them down the sidewalk for no bail. It goes on. They arrest the same criminal multiple times for different felonies. It's absolutely horrific what's going on in this country. This is by design. We are under attack by the felon class. This is being created by the district attorneys. Here's another example, sir. A few years ago in California, there's a commuter train known as the BART train, B-A-R-T, BART train.
Right.
80 black males robbed a train as it was going through Oakland. They held open the electric doors and robbed and beat the passengers at gunpoint. I'm going to say that again. 80 of them. Not 8, sir. 80. They held the doors open. They robbed and beat the passengers at gunpoint. Stole their backpacks, their computers, and their wallets. Now get this, sir. Each train car has live video feed on it. They can see this happening. They can see the faces of everybody. They know who these people are. Guess what? They hid the video. They refused to put the video out to the public. A BART spokesman came out and said it wouldn't be fair to people of color showing them to committing felonies like this. It would be racist, he said, sir, to show the public the 80 individuals with guns robbing and beating the passengers. So they wouldn't let the video out. And guess what? There was not one single arrest made, sir. Not even one. What does that send into that community? No. That you can hold the doors open, rob and beat passengers at gunpoint when you can get people together en masse, and the district attorney and the police department won't do anything about it. There's been millions of dollars in lawsuits over this for people suing BART. Those cases are ongoing to this day. And that set the precedent, sir, in my opinion, to open up this flash mob crime. And now what do we see now? We see groups of individuals, mostly of color, getting together in mass, going into a store and robbing at mass and getting away. Why? There's no armed guards. There's nobody shooting at them. They're getting away with it, sir.
Yeah.
Over and over again.
Yes.
That's why. And this is going to continue, sir. This is going to continue until people with firearms start shooting at them and they start losing their lives.
Danny.
When they start getting shot, it will end.
Danny, you're right. This is why you have to have shoot to kill with looting like this. It's completely out of hand. When did that Bart thing with a gang of eight, that's the whole gang, that was all the members of the gang who participated, would be my inference. When did that happen, Danny?
You can go on YouTube, sir, and actually look a few clips of this. It happened approximately about 4 years ago. I don't have...
Okay.
But it was horrific, sir. People were injured. It was quite terrifying, and nothing was done about it.
Danny, we all get it. It's enough to make you vomit. Now, Chris had a question for you specifically. Chris, go ahead.
Thank you. I do have a quick question for Danny, and it is important. Let me just throw in these two somewhat relevant comments first, but I really want to get Danny's question in before we get into other callers. One, the police officer with the press conference, it reminds me of the fire at Notre Dame, France, where the fire investigator said it wasn't arson when the fire was still burning. And then second, I'd like to remind us that that often the sheriff, the police, the judge, and the district attorney, they're all worshiping in the same temple, the Freemasonic temple, and they take an oath that's higher than any other oath that they did take. And we have a horrible, horrible district attorney here in Vermont. So, Danny, my question is...
Wait a minute, Chris. Joe Olson and I did a show yesterday. You can find it on my BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer, where you mentioned in relation to the Notre Dame fire that the wood there was so old and was virtually petrified that it could not have burned without an accelerant. So the point you're making about Notre Dame is impeccable, spot on. Go ahead.
We have houses here in Vermont with wood siding that's up to 300 years old, and that wood is rock hard. Danny,
yes.
The last time you were on the air, and I don't remember when it was, if you maybe remember the what month it was, I'll find the archive, but an author of books that I was telling about what you said was extremely intrigued and wanted me to send him more information. You were talking about the voice of God technology during the Gulf War and how they infected both sides with the nanoparticles, and how this is the magnetic graphene nanoparticles, and how this is so relevant today with the deadly jab, the quaxine. Danny, do you have any resources that you could point me to that I could find out more about this experimentation with the voice of God technology? And I'm sorry for it being off topic.
There's several different things you can read around the internet, but I don't have any specific person that I can refer you to on that particular subject. You just have to do the best you can and read. There's several scientists on YouTube trying to bring that stuff forward. That's not my area of expertise. I'm not a scientist. I don't have a PhD on that, so,
Danny, listen, Chris, I'll see if I can track something down for you. Thank you for your call. Your initial questions were simply excellent, Chris. I really
thank
like it.
Thank you so much, and Danny is a fantastic guest. Maybe we can hear
him. Isn't he, though? And he was so perfect for today. We have from the chat room a question from Patrick Black Guhan. Do I agree that the videos of Waukesha and other events seem to be selectively disappearing, so only ones leading us to feel it was fake remain? I'm not aware of that, but it would not surprise me, Patrick. That may very well be the case. It would be consistent with everything else we know about the fake news media, trying to edit the evidence so you can't know what actually happened except for manufactured or fake evidence. And by the way, I've seen that green screen thing in the Kenosha courtroom. I think that happened because they were only allowed to put a couple cameras and they had to improvise. Yeah, green screen is a common technique. It does not mean that the courtroom was faked or any of this was phony. It was all, in my judgment, completely authentic. So thanks for the question from the chat room. Now we have Paul standing by. Paul, of course, I addressed your question about the first 32 seconds. I'm sure you have much more to add. Join the conversation.
Yeah, I would like to be the one to volunteer, as Danny said, to until someone starts shooting at them. Actually, Jim, no, you didn't address my question. It wasn't a question, and you guys missed it. I'm going to have to send an email to both of you so you can take a look at it. But what it clearly shows is the car passes by a particular point. It's marked by these two buildings. There's all kinds of bystanders that are on the sidewalk in the street. He doesn't hit any of them. Then the camera comes back, And now, after the car has passed, there's all kinds of people laying in the street. So we're left with one of two choices. Either A, the film was authentic and then it was manipulated, or we have a couple of different versions. I also found a version online that is different, the Kyle Rittenhouse shooting of Gage Grosskreutz, where he shoots his arm. In the one version, he has a gun in his hand, and the other, he doesn't. I can send it to you. So therefore, we're left with the choice of either A, there's one version that was manipulated, or B, there's two versions. How could there be two versions if it was an organic or natural event? I got to tell you, I'm not buying any of this. I'm not buying the archery thing either. I had problems with that when it occurred. Let me finish. I'm almost done. You had an hour and a half. Here's the other problem that I have.
When you get obnoxious like that, invite me to give you the boot, goddammit. Get your head screwed on straight. You were even editing what Chris had to say because you thought it was off topic. Who cares if you think it was off topic? This is not your show, Paul.
I didn't say anything off topic.
You get your head screwed on right.
You get your
head I'm glad to give you the chance to speak, Paul, but you don't talk over me.
Get mad at people, but you don't listen.
Paul, I listened to everything you said, for Christ's sake.
Let me make another point quickly and stop interrupting me. I'd have to see the courtroom to see that it had a checkered pattern to know it was a real courtroom. The other problem, as Ed Henry pointed out, if you read his email, is that the gallery was mostly not full. And it seemed like it was on a repeating loop. So how could you, this researcher who outs all these fake events, talk about, oh, they use a green screen all the time. What a bunch of nonsense. If it's authentic, why they got to use a green screen?
I was talking about how for the coverage of the trial inside the courtroom, they'd only be allowed to have a few cameras. I'm looking for a plausible explanation. Everything about the trial, the shooting appears to be authentic, but that there should be multiple versions is unsurprising. They'll take the original and they'll edit it to make it more consistent. Paul, I'm going to invite Danny to comment on your profound skepticism. I respect your skepticism. I think you're a real smart guy, and I give you a lot of time, but you just get carried away. Danny, your thoughts about what Paul's having to say here.
Sorry, I raised my voice.
I mean, there's so many things there that we just dived into. I mean, I would like to continue some of that stuff in San Francisco, but I'll try to just give my thought on the green screen. I saw the green screen video. I saw the guy walking down the aisle, and I saw it disappear, into thin air. I saw it with my own eyes.
Right.
And I know green screen, and I don't like when I see green screen, sir. I'll be honest with
you.
I don't like
it. Well, I don't like it either, yeah.
What it reminds me of, sir, I will never forget, is Anderson Cooper at Sandy Hook, when he portrayed that he was at Sandy Hook when he was not.
Right, he was in a studio, yes.
Right, and I don't like it. And I always have that thought. I'll never forget Anderson Cooper's nose appearing.
Yes.
When I seen that. So when I see the green screen, sir, I ask myself, what is going on with this entire event that they're using green screen at this point? So I am very puzzled that particular scene, why there was green screen. I don't understand it. I'm not a green screen expert, but I do know what it's used for in Hollywood. I've seen how it's used. I know how they use it to create movies and to do different things. But when I see it in a courtroom, and I see it over the news, and they're portraying green screen, there's some sort of a falsehood going on at that moment. Now, I'm not going to go say that the whole entire thing was a fake or a movie. I don't have the evidence of that. But I do understand Paul's skepticism. Why are we seeing green screen at all in this trial or this event or anywhere around this whole Kyle event? That extremely does bother me. I have not seen what Paul is talking about, the two different videos with Kyle and that shooting. I have not seen those. I would love to get a hold of those if Paul can forward those to you, Dr. Petzer. I would love to analyze those myself.
Well,
very intriguing to me.
I just saw them last night, just so you know.
Sir, I don't know what could have been going on. In that green screen moment, I'd like to point out, I did not see Kyle. I did not see that. I just seen a few people in a courtroom, what I can see in the background. I did not see Kyle in there. I didn't see an attorney. I didn't see the testimony going on at that time. I just saw kind of like almost like an outtake, like a break taking place at that time. But it does
the green screen. Yeah, hang on a sec, Paul. Danny, I like your comments. I wouldn't be surprised if you're manufacturing stuff to make it look fake. I mean, so many of them are fake. I mean, Sandy Hook, Boston bombing, Orlando, Dallas, Charlottesville, Parkland, Las Vegas. These, however, appear to me to be completely legit. Now, that they would have footage where you have Rosencrantz not having the gun in his hand. I mean, he came on trial and he admitted he had a gun in his hand. There's lots of... Paul, just let me finish. He even testified himself that he had the gun in his hand. I mean, I think it's very odd, but not surprising. They might create a video where the gun was not in his hand. Paul, go ahead.
Okay, but there's a number of things to keep in mind. Now, you know that perfectly sane at this point in our career arcs, if you will, to have a default position that it's fake until proven otherwise. That is my default position. But I spend time looking. I spend a lot of time looking, and I think about stuff. Now, when I saw that video that I sent to Mitch and I had him send it to your phone, I couldn't believe it. Oh, my God, I missed that. This is why we need so much time to look into these things, because there's so many things right in front of us that we miss. So, again, I'm going to repeat what it is that you didn't see that I want you to look at again. Is you see a car going by, doesn't hit anybody. Then the camera comes back to the very point the car just went by, and there's all kinds of people laying down on the ground. That needs to be explained, okay?
Yes.
Yeah. Here's what, just on a lighter moment, this was the fun of it. This would take a whole show, and I got a lot more to contribute, and I'm going to slow down. But here's what I'm willing to bet you right now, Jim Fetzer. You know I'm fond of making bets, and I've made a few with you. I bet you right now that Gage Grosskreutz's arm is just fine. He doesn't have a wound in it. I bet you right now that if we go to that courthouse in Wisconsin where that trial supposedly took place, that we're not going to see that floor, because I've never seen a parquet or a checkered floor in a courtroom before. I'm not saying they don't exist, but I'm willing to bet you right now that trial was a TV trial like so many other TV trials. And as far as the footage that's going, you can watch on YouTube and other sites online. You can see all kinds of criminals committing all kinds of crimes, and it's real, and we never see them. So I'm automatically suspicious of the things that they show us over and over and over again, lasting months for a political agenda. I'm immediately suspicious because I feel if they are organic, right, then they're going to be manipulated in some way, shape, or form, but it's going to be, they're not going to wait around for an organic event. They're going to make one.
Let me make a mega point about this. Danny observed he didn't see Kyle in the classroom. And, of course, that particular footage, it didn't seem as though the classroom were packed. The courtroom was packed. You'd expect the courtroom would be packed. That could have been from a whole separate matter, you know, maybe a stage trial on TV where they had that glitch with a green screen that got fed in. This is like the footage of the Palestinians rejoicing on 9/11, which was archival footage that was just fed in. Paul, I respect your default position. That would be my default position. But I've looked at this enough to realize this is bona fide. This was real. These events were both significant. And politically, they contradict. If the mainstream is going to fake an event, they're going to fake an event where a white guy actually shoots black people, not where he shoots white people. And if you're going to have a fake massacre, it's going to have very different properties. I'm eager to look at, but let me tell you this too. I have an old flip phone. You can send me all the links you want on my phone. I can't access them. Send me the link by my email, Paul. You have sent me emails before. Send it to me by email. We're coming down to the bottom line here. Danny, your thoughts.
Well, sir, just to kind of recap everything we talked about, we can talk about it more. I do a lot of security consulting, and I would tell you and tell everybody that's listening, we are living in some crazy times, sir. It's very important to secure your home. You know what? We can go into another show about, you know, how to secure your home properly. But you know what? You really got to be careful out there right now, because they're just looking to put people in jail that are in the wrong place at the wrong time. And you know what? It's very important to try and avoid these crimes or being in a place where these crimes can take place. And I would just urge everybody to be very careful out there. If you're carrying a firearm and you're licensed, be very careful where you go. Because if you use that firearm against a felon that's trying to take your life and you're in the wrong county, I can tell you right now, they're going to prosecute you. Okay, we're at the point now where they're prosecuting people for stopping people from burning your house down. So to get back to what Paul was saying, though, I would like to see some of that footage. And Paul, let me tell you something. I would like to examine that guy's arm that got shot with the AR-15. I saw the video. I saw his arm come apart when he got hit by that shot. And I would like to see his arm today because it would take a massive amount of reconstructive surgery to put his arm back. It blew the muscle off of his arm. I mean, he was down to the bone. And it would be very hard to hide that. And I didn't get to see that. And I'm surprised as a stunt during the trial, they didn't have him remove his shirt just to try and shock the jury with the damage.
Yeah, there you go.
Happened in the trial. I'm thinking if I was a corrupt DA, which I'm not, and I was trying to go after the emotional aspect of it, I might have said, look what they did to this poor guy's arm. And tried to show the carnage of his arm. But we did not get to see that. And yes, I would like to examine his arm. And there's some things that I would like to examine up close if I could, but I'm not going to be able to do that. And it does trouble me that there was a green screen. But Dr. Fetcher, you could be right. That particular scene could have been some scene that they interjected in there. We don't know. Because it wasn't when the trial was actually going. You see Kyle giving his testimony. It wasn't during one of those times. So there's no way to really know why that green screen was there.
Danny, Danny, we're about to be cut off. You were just sensational today. Paul, I greatly respect your opinion. Let me just add, all these other stage events, Sandy Hook, Boston bombing, Orlando, Dallas, Charlottesville, Parkland, Las Vegas, were to promote the Democrats' gun control agenda. These three developments contradict it. That's inconsistent with them having been faked. It just destroys them. They're into meltdown. I want to tell you, I like when you call in, and I'm glad to have your opinion, and God knows you're entitled to it, and you defend yourself well. Meanwhile, everyone, have a great weekend. Spend as much time as you can with your friends and loved ones, because frankly, we do not know how much time we have left.
Listening to Revolution Radio.
Como va? This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect Triangle. Live Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The Perfect Triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the Perfect Triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law. Unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government. Reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio Studio A for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle, with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
We'll be right back.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict.